Welcome to Pursuit Church Podcast, where we give those far from God the opportunity to pursue Christ. We are so glad you are here, and wherever you're listening from, we believe God has a word for you through today's message.
Before you're seated today, I want to read from two passages of Scripture, Ephesians chapter 2 and Hebrews chapter 10. And I can't wait for my wife to be back so we can hear her sing too. We've been missing her up here on the platform. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 17 through 19. And he came and preached peace to you. Speaking of Jesus, he preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Speaking of the Gentiles and the Jews. Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 through 22. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Today I want to title my message, Finding God in a Homesick World. You may be seated, church. Finding God in a Homesick World. I want to speak on a subject that is familiar to many of us, homesickness. Now, to be homesick is to experience a longing for one's home during a period of absence from it. Homesickness is the distress caused by being away from home. One whom is experiencing homesickness simply cannot get home off their mind. People who suffer from it can experience bouts of depression, anxiety, withdrawn behavior, and difficulty focusing on topics unrelated to home. Intense homesickness can be painful and debilitating. Homesickness can crush the spirit and even affect a person in such a way where that person can become physically sick. I just want to be home, says the person who is homesick. A person who is truly homesick has an emptiness in their life that only home can fill. They long for nothing else but to be home. No temporary fix will do, and time does not fix it. Things cannot replace it. No other place will do. It's home that they long for, nothing else but home. And going all the way back to the very beginning, in the beginning, Adam and Eve, for a time, church, had a perfect home. It was this perfect paradise, and the reason why it was a perfect home for a time was that sin had not yet entered the world. But once they fell into sin and thus sin entered the world, their perfect relationship with God was hindered, and God sent them out of the garden into the world. It wasn't necessarily God kicking them out of the garden, but it was their own doing that kicked them out, because sin cannot abide in the perfect presence of God. And so I believe, going all the way back to the very beginning, this is when homesickness began. They had become separated from God. They had been disconnected from his spirit. They had found themselves distant from his presence. It was at this moment that humanity began to feel homesick. It was at this moment in which pain and sickness and death and sorrow and suffering and every kind of evil and wickedness would begin to enter the world. It was at this moment in which men and women would begin to try different things and consume different things and do anything and everything to try to fill that great emptiness in their life. Humanity would begin to fall in every kind of evil to try to satisfy the longing within them. Everything that the world would offer, man would willingly try in hopes that that might fill the void. And what began with Adam and Eve continues today. Man searches far and wide for that which might satisfy him. Man still seeks for anything that might fill the void within. If only I can get a better job or land a better position. If only I can find the right spouse. If only I just had more money. If only I had more friends. If only I lived in a better city. If only I had more alcohol or drugs. If only I could just find the right antidepressant that would work for me. If only I could find the correct medication. If only I could write or read the right book or listen to the right podcast or watch the right video. If only I had a better bill of health. If only I was in better shape. If only we had a better president or a better government or a stronger economy or just better opportunities. There's always something more that humanity wants. Ever since man has fallen and has lost his home in the garden, man has become so homesick. And humanity is always striving to fill the void. It is this constant desire for more, a continual inclination to want more and more and more and more until the void is filled. I'm sure we've all heard of many stories of those who have achieved some of the greatest things in life. But once they got there and once they achieved and once they became the best or the richest or the most powerful, they quickly learned that it didn't fix the emptiness. And there's so many stories of the wealthy and the powerful and the famous taking their own life because what they spent all of their life doing and trying to achieve still could not fill the void inside. One author wrote, "Contentment does not depend on what we have, but on who we have within." There's always something more that we want, even when all of the world is obtained. There is still something missing deep within the inner man. Now, it was David, the psalmist, he said, "I shall not want." Because it was want that got Adam and Eve into trouble. It's still want that keeps humanity broken. It is want that keeps us empty. It is the want of trying to obtain and achieve and to become, but never being able to find true satisfaction. In fact, there's no amount of things and materialism and wealth and friends and popularity or power or success or fun in the world that can solve the want problem. No matter what the world may offer, there will always be something inside of me that wants more. And so how, David, can you say that I shall not want? David, do you not have a void in your life? Do you not feel the emptiness inside? Or how are you so satisfied? How are you so different than us? How are you not empty inside? David said, "For the Lord is my shepherd." He was saying, "The Lord is my shepherd. What more shall I want? He gives me what I need. He satisfies my needs. There's no want in me. There's nothing more that I should desire. There's nothing more that I should want. In fact, you can put the whole world next to him. And my God is greater. He restoreth my soul, David said. Ah, it's a soul problem. It's a soul issue. The soul cannot find satisfaction in the things of the world, and thus there is always an urge inside of me to want more. But since the soul was not made for the world, we cannot find what we're looking for. Isaiah the prophet said, all of us, like sheep, we've gone astray. Each of us has turned to his and her own way and searched for that which may fill the emptiness inside of me. But David said, blessed is the person whose shepherd is the Lord, because that person shall no longer want, and that person shall no longer be in need, and that person shall no longer be empty, but that person's soul shall be restored. And so we are all like sheep in need of a shepherd. And every man and every woman lives their lives trying to find a good shepherd. A shepherd that will meet their wants. A shepherd that will meet their needs. Many move from shepherd to shepherd and search for that one who will fill the void and fix their life and solve their problems and heal their brokenness and give them happiness and peace and comfort and joy. And so if my soul is sick today, or if there is a void within me in my life, maybe a good question for me would be, who is my shepherd? Who have I given my life to? The Bible says there's only one good shepherd, and he's the only one that will lead you beside still waters. He's the only one who will lead us on the paths of righteousness. He's the only one that will meet your needs. He's the only one who will restore the soul. He restoreth my soul, David said. What else can restore the soul? What else can heal my soul sickness? My soul doesn't long for temporary things. My soul doesn't long for a quick fix. My soul doesn't need a new friend. My soul doesn't need a new car or a new house or a better career. My soul doesn't long to keep up with the Joneses. My soul is homesick. My soul needs restoring. My soul misses his shepherd. My soul longs for God's presence. I long to be back in the garden. My soul misses the Father's fellowship. My soul longs to be back home. So that is the issue, church. Since we've lost our right standing, our relationship with God, humanity has become homesick. In fact, I believe all of the problems in our world point to this single fact. The world is homesick. What I believe the doctors diagnose is really a homesick issue. When the world falls to pieces, it's a homesick issue. When wars break out, governments fall apart, nations collapse, kingdoms rise against kingdoms, homesick issue. When we see riots break out across the world, just recently, if you were watching the news, Paris was practically on fire as riots broke out and their people were so angry and unhappy, destroying everything in their paths. What's wrong with those young people? What's wrong with those kids? Homesick. When people become so lost and confused that they begin to question their own identity and their own gender and the definition of marriage and the way that they should live their life and what they should believe and who they should listen to and why they should listen to them. Homesick issue. the unhappiness in the world is due to soul sickness. Humanity is hurting inside. They're lost inside. They're empty inside. They can't understand it. They can't pinpoint the pain. They can't figure out the problem. They don't know why. They hope that their political party will save them, and they hope that a new presidential candidate will fix the problem, and they hope that a change of government will bring a solution. But it never happens, because the world cannot heal the soul. They're homesick. The world is homesick. They don't even realize it, but the brokenness cries out, I'm homesick. And the rise in suicide and depression cries out, I'm homesick. And the conflicts around our world cry out, I'm homesick. And the opioid epidemic cries out, we're homesick. We miss the Good Shepherd. We've spent too long without God's presence. I don't know what I've become. I don't even know how I've got here. I'm homesick. And so when we look at the condition of the world and their desperation to fill the voids in their life, they're quick to change careers because the last career didn't fix the problem. They're quick to break off relationships, and they're quick to divorce their spouse because their marriage didn't fix their emptiness. And they're quick to move to a different city because their little small town didn't fix the emptiness. And they're quick to try a new drug or alcohol, for it has yet to fix their emptiness. And even though they promised God that they wouldn't go back and do it again, they turn the computer back on and watch another porn because the last one didn't fix the emptiness, and so on. Nothing fixes the problem. They're homesick. And so all human beings were made for a home that they've lost. Humanity has become homesick as they're longing to experience true communion and fellowship with God intensifies. Due to sin, the world finds themselves far from God. All of their issues, all of their striving, all of their wishes, all of their wants speak of a much greater need deep within the soul. So what is the cure? Is there a cure? Is there a fix, church? Must we die in our striving? Must we die in our emptiness? Must we die in our misery? Or must we die in our sins? No. 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 This is where the gospel comes in. This is where Jesus comes and the Bible says, preaches peace to the world. There's good news. Jesus, God in the flesh, shed his own blood, died on the cross to make a new way for us to enter his holy presence. Paul said in Hebrews 10, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, we have been given a new way and have been provided permanent access through the blood and the torn body of Christ. When we had no way due to our sin and rebellion in the garden, Christ has provided a new way so that we may even approach the throne of God with confidence and boldness because of his shed blood. See, we were all born with a problem. Just give me a few more minutes. We were all born homesick. In our flesh as a mere baby, we may have had good physical health, but the moment we were born, our soul was sick. Because immediately when we entered the world, we found ourselves apart from God, because by one man's disobedience, we were all made sinners, but by the obedience of one, Christ Jesus, many shall be made righteous. Jesus has given us new access to God's presence by becoming our ultimate advocate. Jesus has redeemed us by his precious blood. He has literally opened the Holy of Holies. He has brought together God and man. It's the sweet, sweet story of the gospel. It's the good news. It's what all of the world needs to hear. Jesus has come. Jesus has made a way. Jesus has brought heaven down to earth. Jesus has come to heal the soul. His name is Jesus. We don't need more of the world. We need more Jesus. No need to look any further. No need to search any longer. He has come. And he's our heart's desire. Today, I want to remind you that we don't have to live in this world feeling empty and homesick. We don't have to wander aimlessly searching for temporary fixes to try to satisfy our soul. But our longing for home can be healed by the love and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we've been given access to what we lost in the garden. Today, maybe you're not new to anything I've said. Maybe you've heard this kind of preaching before. Maybe you've already known everything I've told you. Maybe at some point in your life, if you're watching online even, you previously gave your heart to God. You served him with all of your soul. But now, today, for some reason, somehow, you have found yourself far from God again. You're disconnected. You're distant from him. You've fallen into sin. You know you're not where you should be. Maybe you're simply overwhelmed by how far you've gone. You wonder if God would even accept you if you wanted to come back. You wonder if you've gone too far. You wonder if you've sinned too much. You want to be in right standing with God, but you're not sure if it's possible for me. Let me share with you just a few things. As I come to a close here, let me share just a few things about the blood of Jesus. We are all in need of the same blood. There are none made righteous except by the blood. There is no sin in which the blood cannot cover. There is no soul which the blood cannot wash. The price for your salvation has already been paid in blood. God is not taking it back. There is no distance to which the blood cannot reach. There is no darkness to which the blood cannot permeate. There is no running out of this blood. There's no stopping this blood. There is no power greater than this blood. The blood knows no boundaries. The blood will extend beyond every barrier. The blood will reach into the darkest corner. The blood of Jesus flows like a mighty river. There is nothing that can stop this blood. This blood is not like your blood or my blood. This is God's blood. And God's blood was shed for all. And God's blood can save anyone and was intended to save everyone. The blood will deny nobody who wishes to be washed by it. The blood does not discriminate. The blood does not have favorites. The blood will enter any home. The blood will cover any heart. There is simply no circumstance for which the blood will not work when somebody repents. When we call for it, the blood will come. When we need it, the blood will be there. The blood is always on time. The blood is never late. And the blood never misses an appointment. There is no sin, guilt, or shame that the blood cannot cover. There is not a single person in whom the blood was not shed for. The blood was for everyone. The blood goes backwards and it covers all of those who lived by faith in the Old Testament. And the blood flows forward even unto today to those of us who live by faith. Church, the only requirement to enter the Holy of Holies is the blood. The only way to get to God is the blood. The only way he can receive us is not by our good works and our good deeds, but it's the blood. The only way that God will save us is the blood. When we all get to heaven, which I'm going to make, and I hope you make, and I believe you're going to, every person watching online, I want you to make it too. When we all get to heaven, two things, at least two things, I know we will all have in common. Number one, we were all sinners. We were all doing something wrong. We all fell short many a times. We were all destined for hell. We all made many a mistakes. And at some point, we thought we would never make it. But number two, the blood. When we all chose to get under the blood, we were all washed by the blood. We all had faith in the blood. None of us will point to our good deeds. None of us will point to all of our good works. But we will all point to the same thing. And that will be the flow of the blood. And for eternity, the church will thank God for nothing else but the blood. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for the blood. And so there is such great hope for those today whose soul is sick and in need of great redemption. Oh, there's great hope today for those who are desperate for forgiveness and a brand new beginning. For today, even in this homesick world, the blood is still flowing, and the blood is still working. The blood is still saving. Let's stand this morning, church. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for the blood. There upon the cross of Calvary, as Jesus would face that brutal death of crucifixion, the blood that would begin to fall and the blood that would be spilled would begin to say, welcome home. Ha. Welcome home, child. Welcome home. The blood. Oh, if the blood could talk to us this morning, if the blood could preach to us, it would say, welcome home. Welcome home, child. The blood has granted you new access. So is your soul sick today? Do you feel homesick? Have you found yourself running to the things of this world that cannot satisfy your soul? The blood is here. The shepherd is here. He's saying, come home. I've given you new access through the blood. Come home. Christ cries out, come home. Come back to my presence. Run back to me. It's an open invitation to all to come to him. And may I add this morning, he gives special help to those who are burdened with feelings of inadequacy, restlessness, frustration. You don't feel like you're good enough. You're not good enough. You need the blood. I need the blood. He knows what you're going through. He knows what you're facing. So if that's how you feel today, your soul is empty, come and God will help you. The Bible says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth come. And let him who is thirsty come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely.
Thank you for joining us today. Be sure to subscribe and share this podcast with your friends. For more information about Pursuit, visit pursuitchurchar.com. Thank you for listening and see you next week.